Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, we will celebrate our 100th episode, and as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
It's been a long couple of years to get us to this point, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
It has.
We're going to celebrate the recording of our 100th episode today and talk a little bit about everything. I don't know. We'll just kind of see where it takes us, but we have accomplished a lot of work in the past couple of years.
We have, and I mean, it seems like it's been a long time, but then it seems like it was just yesterday, too. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that it's hard for me to really wrap my head around that we're recording our 100th episode.
I agree, definitely. It's been a lot of fun, and we've had a lot of fun. I think all three of us will agree to that. And, we're just kind of here trying to get the word out. You know, I feel like that's kind of our main goal in all of this, and help educate folks and maybe bring some attention to something that maybe they didn't think about.
That's right.
Or bring more attention to something that people has heard about. So, it's been a lot of fun, and we've had a lot of fun along the way. We've got to record at a lot of different places.
That's right.
The good thing about our equipment is that we can just pack her up and move right along and move to somewhere that some kind of remote location and do a podcast. So, I think it's just been so much fun, and, hats off to you guys for sticking with it. We all kind of have, got a lot out of this deal for sure.
I agree. We talk about being there to bring the message and to help other folks learn. We've learned a lot.
Yeah.
We've learned, first and foremost, how to put together a successful podcast when none of us are techie people, really.
Some less than others.
I don't know. You say that, but you get to do some IT work for a volunteer forum here coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
and
start,
maybe having this on your resume got you there. You know,
that's right.
Well, we need to stop.
Need to hide that.
Need to hide that then for sure.
But we have learned a lot. We've learned what other people like to listen to. We've had people supply us with information along the way that they've enjoyed listening to, and it's helped us a lot, I feel like, in trying to keep the direction of this show going. When you think about extension programs, you think about the grassroots efforts. If everything's being done the way it's supposed to, you think about the grassroots efforts and the leadership that goes in from the local level and helping us kind of guide and direct where our programs take us. And I feel like this show is just another extension, if you will, of our programs. We've gone all the directions that, the different specialists that we've had on have all been people who have been coming to speak at meetings that we've been having and put on. And I feel like it's just another way to help get the word out, like you said, David, another way to reach people. In a ever-changing world and ever a busier world than what we all knew years ago.
That's right.
You know, and we've had a bunch of people, had not too long ago at the commodity conference, had somebody stop us, me and Vicky, and said, I listen to y'all show every week. Mm-hmm. And, to me, that's pretty humbling, to be honest with you. He says, I don't miss a show.
Yeah, and he is in a leadership group right now. I think that's what he said. He was in a leadership group with some other folks in agriculture, and he said just last week we met, and he said I told the folks that we were in there, you guys need to check this out, and like you said, David, it is humbling because anytime that we do a program. Like Jay was saying, if it's a field day or it's a grower meeting, we just did a tobacco meeting last week together for our tobacco growers in our counties. And any time that we put a program together, we want to do the very best we can. We want to offer the information that the folks need, that those producers need, whatever that need is. We're going to try to meet that need if we can. And doing this podcast, you know, we're trying to do the same thing. And yeah. when folks say something like that and let us know that, that they're supporters and that they listen to it and give us some feedback, it, yeah. it is humbling. And I think it just helps us realize that, yeah, this is a good thing to be able yeah. to do this, because times have changed. And we've talked about this before amongst ourselves, but the days of having meetings with large crowds just doesn't happen anymore.
Traditional style meetings.
No.
Yep.
We still have those, and we still have producers come, and they're very relevant, and they're mm-hmm. they're still needed. They're still impactful. But we have to think about other ways to do programs to be yeah. able to meet the needs of the folks that we're trying to reach and to reach a larger audience. And I'll be honest, speaking for myself, when we started this a couple of years ago, I mean, I was really excited, but I was really nervous. I mean, I can talk. Everybody knows that. I can talk with the best of them. But something about sitting down with a microphone in front of you and it recording, you get a
yep.
get a little nervous. And I didn't have radio experience.
Yep.
So we don't have a radio in this county. Mm-hmm. You know, both of you all have been doing rodeo. Well, you may have been doing rodeo
we
too.
We did
but,
that too.
Yeah, but radio for several years. And yeah. you know, I hadn't done that. And so,
well, Vicki, you've come a long way. And
yes.
you're doing so much better.
Yes.
And I even sit in on a radio show in the mornings down in Katie's occasionally. And when I'm on that side of the microphone, I call Vicki yeah. On my day to be there. So she's doing a fantastic job. So you've come a long way, Vicki.
I appreciate it.
You are, I would say you are as experienced as Jay and I now. So.
Well, I do appreciate that because, I mean, I had no experience. And I appreciate y'all working with me on helping me with that skill because I didn't have it. You know, but
you do now.
But hey, I have the skill of talking.
I was trying to think of a way to say exactly what David said. And when you're recording, whether it's radio, whether it's for a web-based show like this, just like any conversation, you try to keep the conversation fluid. You try to keep mm-hmm. it flowing. And when you're new at recording something or even broadcasting live, that's what's difficult because yep. you're trying to think.
Yep.
And, you know, it sounds odd, but you need to quit thinking. Just talk.
Right.
Yeah.
Just have a conversation, which is really what we aim to do with this show. We try mm-hmm. to keep it conversational. And the fact that there's three of us, at least three of us all the yep. time, that usually makes it a lot easier to keep mm-hmm. it conversational.
You know, and I know that every show doesn't interest everybody.
Sure.
You know, and I guess we're not necessarily having the podcast for somebody to listen every week. We'd love for you to, but there's just some subjects that folks are just not interested in.
Right.
And the good thing about a podcast is if you're not interested in that subject, you don't have to click on it.
No, just go
or
to the next
one. Or if it gets
one.
Into it and you don't like it, you can click on something else, you know.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the good thing. And you know, like y'all talked about having those meetings, Vicki, you were talking about it. And, you know, this is just another way for us to communicate that information to everybody. And, you know, what an easy way to do that. It's easier, I think, for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think it's easier for the listener to get that information. You know, we've had some really good shows on some really great topics. And, of course, I'm always going to fall back to the beef shows or the Ford shows
sure.
that are my favorite because they are. But, you know, we've had some really good shows on some other stuff. One of the highlights that I think about is when we recorded out in Iowa
mm-hmm.
and got to talk to Daniel Leonard in mm-hmm. Florida
right.
and Jay's buddy there.
Keith Fielder down
yeah,
in Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, to me, and the subjects that they brought to the table, so interesting. And just to listen to how about agriculture is different in their part of in their neck of the woods or
right.
in their part of the country. And I thought that was just, from me, from an educational standpoint, that was so educating and enlightening. You know, I just appreciate the fact that we had to do that. And we thought about, hey, we're going to be out there. Let's grab some people from a different state.
Right.
And let's do some podcasts with them.
You know, when I was editing those shows and getting them ready to publish, you could hear how enjoyable they were to do just listening to our voices, you could tell that we were as engaged in those conversations as ever. Yeah. We were learning something new. It was educational to us.
Yep.
Well, I think that's the good part about this podcast too, is we got into this for another educational opportunity for us to be able to give to our producers and our listeners, even further than our counties, obviously, and even further than Kentucky, because we appreciate all the listeners that we have. In several states, mm-hmm. but we learn too, and I would dare say every podcast that we have, we all learn something new. And I think that's really, that's just a good win all the way around, because when we can learn more, because then we can take that information, and when we're talking to other folks, and we take the information we've learned and share that, and then I think the other thing is, when you have a meeting, you have the meeting on that night or that day, mm-hmm. and then it's over. But with a podcast, you can listen to that. We can send the link when somebody calls, and we've all done that.
Yep.
Somebody calls us and says, "Hey, I want just want to talk to you a little bit about whatever topic it is." And there's been several times that I've said, "Hey, you talk to them," and I say, "No, when we get off the phone, I'm gonna send you this link to the podcast that we recorded, so you can listen to that when you have time." And most of the time, it's going to be with a specialist. And that is an added benefit, too, that I think from an educational standpoint, that we've all been able to utilize that, and our producers has been able to utilize that, and we may or may not have been thinking about that when we started the podcast.
No, I think that's exactly right. And it works the same way for agents in other areas. I've had agents across the state or even in other states tell me, "Hey, I really appreciated you having so-and-so on," in reference to one of our specialists, because they don't get that contact. But through listening to our show, they thought, they learned, well, hey, there is a person at UK that answers some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Keith Fielder, the guy that from Georgia that responded, that recorded with us here when we were in Iowa last year, sent me an email and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a specialist that does this. Y'all had him on your show at one time. Do you think you could put me in contact with him?" Sam McNeil was who it was.
Oh, yeah.
He listened to the show that we'd done last winter. I did. Sam helped him out. They were looking for he had a grain storage question. And, that's just the thing, that a lot of people may not have a particular show that has a lot of information for them, but they learn a new contact for who they can contact for those things.
And oh, absolutely.
I think it's good for all of us all the way around.
I do too. And I think our listeners can tell that we have a lot of fun when we record these. And that was part of the, when we sat down, if we go back to 2 years ago, and when we were sitting in that meeting, we had that training, and all of us ended up in that breakout session about podcasting. And honest to goodness, the three of us had never sat down and talked about putting a podcast together. We had talked about doing programs together, and we had done programs together, but podcasting was not on that list of things to do. And when we sat down in there and then decided that we was going to, start this podcast, and we did. And I hope that the listeners can tell how much we enjoy this. I hope you can tell how much fun we have doing this together, because it is fun. It's fun programming, and sometimes I wish you could see some of the fun, but we've had a lot of fun, and there's been a few mishaps that's happened during a podcast recording, right, David? Maybe in McLean County?
Time or two, yes. Yeah. Equipment. We've learned so much, though, about equipment, and here I am with my new phone trying to take a selfie to put on Facebook about us recording our 100th episode. And it took me about 2 or 3 minutes to figure out how to turn the doggone thing around. So Jay was talking about my prowess with
that back.
Yeah, there you go. So, but we've learned so much about equipment. Some of the things you need, we've changed microphones, we've changed microphone stands. To tell the story that Vicky was talking about, we were visiting with a specialist from the University of Georgia, a poultry specialist, ventilation specialist, and Mr. Mike Zark. And Mike was just talking away, and we were in my office, actually sitting at my desk, mm-hmm. and we used to have these old microphone stands that had these where you clipped them on the table. And they had springs on them, and they made terrible noise, and we finally got smart enough to figure it out that we didn't need them. But anyway, it was on the you know, screwed to the desk, a little clamp on the desk, and all of a sudden Mike was just talking away, and all of a sudden the microphone starts to fall. And I look at Vicky like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And both of us were talking about poultry ventilation, which is not our necessarily in our strong suit. However, I told Vicky just to keep it going. So I was over there underneath the desk trying to get the microphone stand screwed back on, and he never missed a beat, did he?
He did not. He never missed it, and he did not move either.
Which, no, he didn't move.
He did not move at all. So, I mean, that was part of the funny part. I mean, if you can visualize this in your head, we're in an office, and we're sitting kind of close anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
This microphone is falling in our guest's lap, and David is trying to fix it. He's, you know, he's in the floor. He's trying to get this thing fixed. And he never moved. I mean, yeah, he just kept right on going, and yeah, and kudos to David.
Yeah,
well, and kudos to David. He got it fixed and got right over
awful.
And joined the podcast. And hopefully not everybody knew what was happening
right
at the time. But
yeah, you try not to make any noise. And with those microphone stands, they were terrible about making noise if you touched them. You know, it'd be a it's just a terrible noise. So I was trying to do that without, so... you know, luckily we all came through that unscathed and everything worked out, but, we've learned a bunch, you know, really.
We have.
You know, like David said, we've upgraded equipment along the way a couple of different times. I do a lot of the editing and publishing and producing work for getting the show on the air. And that one little change of swapping out those stands for these new stands that we have made a huge impact on the quality of the show that we produce, because it took all those little sounds and took all those little noises out that David was talking about. Having these good, sturdy, solid microphone bases to sit on certainly make it a lot easier to edit, but it makes it a more quality show all the way around. The new microphones that we bought, I'll put them in that same category. They sound so much better. It's just an improved sound quality all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, again, when looking back and from the beginning and just the improvements that we've made, both from an equipment standpoint, from just recording the podcast, just making it conversational, being comfortable doing this, that makes a big difference when you are comfortable, when you're sitting here and you're not as nervous going into it. And like I was in the beginning, I can't speak for you all, but you know, in the beginning, but I still kind of laugh about where we've come, because the very first podcast that we recorded back in November of 2021, I believe it was, we're sitting in the same room today, but there's a big difference, because back when we are that first episode, we all had papers out in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
We had our notes down there, what we was all going to talk about. We all had a timely tip, and we just, you know, we each had two or three pages, it seems like, of what,
at least
of things that we were going to talk about. And after that first one, Jay was like, throw them notes out the window, because we're not going to keep doing this. So.
It was like an hour and a half.
It was too long.
It was over an hour.
It was right close to an hour and a half.
Yeah.
All the way around.
Yeah.
And so, and you, some of our listeners, you all may have listened to that one. And so hopefully you have noticed some improvements from that one.
It was chock full of information, though.
It was.
It was chock full of information.
And it was good information.
Yeah.
It was very good information.
It was just too long.
Yes.
Way too long.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about it is, when I feel like, going back to the fact that we try to keep this conversational, when we have a lot of notes and we have a lot of, not to say that we don't prepare somewhat, but when you do a lot of forward scripting and things like that, it takes that conversational aspect out of it.
Right.
It's more of an interview, and I don't know about y'all, I get old listening to interviews pretty quick.
That's right.
It's a lot easier to have a conversation. That's what makes it enjoyable. You know, I've described this several times, as it's just like going to lunch with somebody and you're sitting around talking about work.
Yeah,
that's right.
While we're just not eating while we're doing
it. Right. Yeah. No. And I think that, I know that our guests that we've had on have really appreciated that.
Yep.
Because oftentimes our guests have been on other podcasts, and not to say anything about other podcasts, And that's the other thing about podcasts. They're all different.
Yep.
And which is what makes them, that's what makes them interesting. That's what makes folks enjoy podcasts. And, but that is one of the things that, that our guests have said that they really enjoy recording face to face because of that conversation and being just really easy to do this podcast. And they're surprised at how easy it is. If they've never done a podcast, they're really surprised when they come in.
Yeah.
Because they're nervous just like I was in the very beginning. But just as soon as you get through the welcome, they're calmed down and they're just as comfortable as the rest of us. So,
oh, I think so. And if folks could see us now, it's from the first time to this time, there is a big difference. You know, we actually just walked in the door and sat down and said, hey, what are we going to talk about? You know, and what's our timely tip? And we had to come up with a timely tip. And, you know, that's the normal thing. But I think that's what makes it good. It's very spontaneous.
Yes.
I think it just, it's right off the cuff and those kind of things. And I think, you know, it just flows really well when it's like that.
One of the reasons we're able to be that way is the fact that all of us have several years of experience under our belts.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying I don't have to go look up anything anymore because I look up stuff every day, but there's a lot of things that I, we all just know. It, it's part of our everyday vernacular and has been for years. And that also allows us to be conversational vernacular. You like
I
that?
Loved it. I'm telling you. It's been a while, Jay, since you've came out with one of those big words.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a little bit. So it's been a little bit. It was time. It was time. I like it.
Yeah.
But I agree with 100% what you're saying.
And your vernacular.
I agree. But and our backgrounds are all different.
Sure.
Yeah. And but they complement each other. You know,
I think it's what makes it so easy.
I do too.
You know.
Yeah. I think having those different backgrounds makes it easy, but then the experience that we've had, we can stay in the conversation even if it's not our area.
Right.
You know,
not
I think
our cup of tea,
not our cup of tea,
specialty
or
or however you want to look
exactly.
at it.
Exactly, you know, but we can stay in the conversation.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things I've noticed. Sometimes we have a guest, sometimes we don't have a guest, and when we have that guest, that's when I feel like I spend more time preparing beforehand because I want to be able to talk about whatever they're talking about.
Yep.
That's
you
right.
mentioned Mike Zarek. Yep. I did not do the show where y'all had the technical difficulties with you. I was going out of town. But this next year, we had him on again, and I was able to be a part of that. I did quite a bit of reading ahead of time to make sure I was going to be able to stay in those conversations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When it's just the three of us, I never have that issue. We're always right there together, seemed like on the same point.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and I've had to do that multiple times. I remember back in one of the early episodes, I don't know what number it was, but when we had Jordan Shockley, one of the Aggie Con specialists, he came and actually we was on the road then. We was at the Soybean Association.
Yeah, that was just me and you, Vicky.
Yeah, it was just me and you. Yeah. And because you were out of town, Jay, and and we sat up there and we talked about the carbon markets. And I knew I asked Jordan, I said, can you send us a little information so we can read over a little bit before we record? Because something like that, I think it's our responsibility to make sure that we are able to stay in the conversation. And if it's something that we're just not as comfortable with or don't know as much about, that's our job and we need to do that. And but I feel like we all do that, and I appreciate that we all do that because we know when we walk in this room or wherever recording, and Jay, you hit record, we all know that the other one is going to be in the conversation. We're all ready for this. And I think that makes a big difference. And if you're thinking about podcasting and you want to do it with other people, you know, I'll encourage that because it is a lot of fun. We haven't, like we've said many times, we have really enjoyed this and our listeners can hear that. But you do need to put some thought into that, who you do want to do the podcast with, because that's going to make a difference on how it's going to flow and how the podcast is going to, how you want that podcast to turn out. What are the goals of it and the purpose of it and figuring that out.
And, you know, before we actually started recording in those early days when we were gathering equipment, we spent quite a bit of time between the three of us discussing what we wanted our finished product to look like. Mm-hmm. And we've never really strayed from that at all. It's from day one, we've had a timely tip. As a matter of fact, day one, I think we had three timely tips. That's what we cut out.
Yeah, we had to cut that back.
But that has, that, you know, the fact that we've all kind of had that singular vision of what we wanted the final product to look like has kept us going all along the way. Yeah.
You know, it's been a little bit for me and Vicky, Jay. It was kind of, we kind of got worried a little bit. Jay's moving counties, and we were a little bit worried that we were going to lose you from the podcast. And, you know, it's such a good thing. And I'm so glad that you decided to stay with us. You know, he's going to be a little bit further away. But, you know, we the good thing about our equipment is we're mobile and we can come to you and you can come to us. And, you know, I think it's just too good a thing just to quit it. You know?
And I think too, it's going to open up the doors to some new people that we haven't had before because we don't know about them. We don't have a contact with them. And Jay, with you, you know, moving from Hopkins to Lyon County, there's undoubtedly going to be people in Lyon County that you're going to say, hey, we need to get this person on the podcast.
You know, we had one before, actually. The show we did last year was Sheriff Brent
White.
Road and equipment safety episode. Mm-hmm. He is the sheriff of Lyon County. He's somebody that David and I both have known for a long time and was quick to sit down with us. Yep. He is a sheriff. He's also a farmer. Yep. He's also a UK College of Ag graduate. So he was quick to want to jump in and use this as a format to help spread the message. But you know, when I made that decision, or actually before I made the final decision to attempt to transfer, I put a lot of thought into this show specifically. Mm-hmm. And I told my wife, I said, that's one of the things I'm going to figure out one way or another, because I don't want that to change. Yep. We've come too far with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And other than a little bit of planning, you know, we won't be able to do some of the off-the-cuff stuff that we've done in the past. But with just a little bit of planning and forethought, we're going to make this remain just like it always has. Keep it a weekly show and keep it where we're having new, fresh topics and people to take part in it. We've got a whole host of agents down in the farther western part of the state that I know would love to jump on a show like this with us. Mm-hmm. Tom Miller, we've had on before.
Yeah.
Ben Rudy is somebody we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And I think getting both of those folks involved and on the air and get them exposed to some of our audience, I think a lot of people would like that.
Well, and for our listeners that aren't familiar with Kentucky and where counties are located, right now in the Tri-County, we do some Tri-County programming that is separate from the podcast. The podcast is just, I guess, an extension of what we were doing in a way. But we call ourselves Tri-County because our counties do come together. We neighbor. Webster's kind of in the middle. And geographically, it works well, but then also our producers, all three counties are similar. Jay's going to be moving out of Hopkins County and going into Lyon County, but it is a little further, but he's not moving across the state by any means. So just for our folks that aren't as familiar with the geography of our area, he is moving counties, but it's not going to be too far away. So
rather than being right next door, we'll be about an hour apart.
Exactly. And so, which is going to make that work. You know, we can make that work. That's very doable. And, you know, I think back about all the podcasts. I still can't hardly believe we're recording our 100th podcast. Sounds crazy, but
yeah,
I'm really happy we made it there though. But
and we've had some accolades along the way.
We have,
and we're very proud of the fact that we won the audio recording for the National Association of County Ag Agents last year in Des Moines, Iowa. That's one of the proudest moments that I've had in my extension
Me
career.
Too.
Just because of the fact that you won a national contest. And you don't get to do that every day.
And
if we never win again, I'm okay, but I'd like to win again. But, you know, that competitive drive always falls in there with me. But, you know, if we don't, that's a big accomplishment for the three of us. And we equally share that award for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the neat things about that at the time, we were one of the, if not the first, one of the first winners from the state of Kentucky to ever win for that type of communication award. Yep. And Kentucky did that at that meeting not just once but twice. We had a coworker who also won a national award, and it was a neat deal. You get there to be recognized by your peers. We all are recognized by the folks that we work with every day. We're recognized by our coworkers. We're recognized by, you know, our supervisors and whatnot. But when you're amongst a group of your peers from across the country and everybody gets to take part in that and kind of celebrate you, just like we celebrated them, there's a lot of communication award categories. A lot of other winners that were there just like we were for the first time. And it was just a neat deal to be on a national stage like that.
Well, when you're recognized by agriculture agents, that means even more to me.
Absolutely.
That means more.
And for those of you that may not be aware of the process, so we're all members of our National Ag Agents Association, but we are first members of our state association. And by being a part of that association, then you are automatically a part of the national. And so the other thing to me that I was very proud of when we were selected as a national winner, I knew the steps that it went through. There was a lot of steps to go through to go from the state to the national level. And so the way that works, your state association will have a state chair, and all those applications come in, but those have to be judged at the state level first. And judges are selected. They're not extension people most of the time that judge those, but they are specialists in their area. So in our case, in the audio recordings, that's the judges are going to be somebody that's a professional in that field. So those are judged against your colleagues in the state that have submitted entries. The state winner then will move on to the region. And you know, we're in the southern region is what our area is, which happens to be the largest region in the national organization. And it goes through that same process again. So all of the state winners come in to the regional level. Then that chair is going to get those judged again. So they go through another judging process. Then those are going to be moved on to the national level. And then they're judged again. So they are judged three different times before, you know, by the time that national winner is named or selected. And so I was very proud of the fact that it wasn't something that just here at the state level, which I was extremely proud if it didn't go any further. But to know the steps that it went through for us to be selected for that for that national award, it was very humbling.
Well, and Vicki's so up to date with how that process works. I'll thank her for all the years that she spent as our state communications award chair.
Absolutely.
She has looked at a lot of these type things and passing the reins now over to somebody else who will take that over. And actually that will allow Vicki to enter some of these contests that that she's been responsible for seeing to for so long. But, you know, each level, it's almost like winning three different contests. You win at your state and you advance. You go to those regionals, you win again, and you advance. And then we were lucky enough to win at the national level. So three different times, you know, the group gets smaller as you go. But
it gets harder.
The stakes get harder because the programs that are being promoted are the best of the best from each state, from each region. When you get to that national level, there's not that many. It's not like there's 50 at that national level. There's only four or five.
Yeah, I think one of the comments that somebody that judged at the regional level sent back to us was the fact that it was just like sitting on the front porch talking. And to me, that's probably the biggest compliment we've ever gotten from a standpoint of that's what we want it to sound like. That's what we want people to feel like when they're, you know, when they're listening to our podcast, is just some folks up on the front porch just talking about, you know, whatever the subject is.
That's right.
And, you know, that's what we wanted folks to come out. That's how we want folks to think about
I know.
Us.
I remember us sitting down and talking. And like you said, Jay, we probably met four or five times just planning. Just planning how we want to do this, getting what equipment we needed. And because we wanted to do it, if we wanted to give it our best. And I remember us sitting down there, and the things that we talked about was we wanted to be consistent. We wanted to be the information that we had. We wanted to be consistent. We wanted to be relevant. We wanted information that our listeners needed, but we wanted to be consistent. So they knew what they was getting when they listened to our podcast. They knew the format. They knew the consistency of it. We wanted it to be conversational.
You know, I hadn't had a chance to share this with David yet. I actually mentioned it to Vicki the other day, but went through this interview process as part of transferring to this new county. And one of the interviewers, after the fact, of course, had comments about how you did. And one of the comments was, is here you have a person that's been working almost 30 years, and he's not ready to retire. Mm-hmm. He's not ready to sit back and just rest on his laurels. But then he went on and said, him and that group that he does the podcast with, he said, all of them are the same way. They've all been working a long time, he said, but they all keep looking for that way to carry the message out to their audience and be creative in finding ways to innovate and do their programs. And that really meant a lot to me, because we've all worked with so many people that, and everybody does, they get tired, they get to that point where they're ready.
We could have checked out. We all three of us could have already checked out.
Just coasting.
But it was recognized by somebody in that interview process that we haven't. And I appreciated that. I really did.
Absolutely.
When you hear those kind of comments, that really kind of sparks you to do a little better and to do it a little longer and or however you want to look at it. But we could have all checked out a long time ago and just kind of coasted and just done what we were supposed to do. But looking for a new way to get the information out to people and to me that's what it's all about. And we've got so many different people now. We've got older farmers, we've got younger farmers, and they want their information differently.
Right.
And to me, we've got a good mix of folks that listen to our podcast. We've got some older folks that listen to our podcast. We've got some younger folks listen to our podcast. So, and to me, it's so easy to listen to. And, you're in the tractor or if you're smart enough and can do it and, hook up to the Bluetooth and, you listen through the tractor or through your truck radio going down the road. That's what I do. I have about an hour drive every day to work. And so I will listen to podcasts, different podcasts. And I really didn't listen to podcasts until we started doing one just to kind of get the feel of how one should go. And now I've got several that I listen to every day and they're not all around here.
Right.
I listen to one that actually originates in Wyoming. But it's about ranching, and that's something that interests me. And, hopefully our Kentucky Ag Matters podcast interests folks, and that's how they view our podcast as well.
That would be my first advice probably to somebody that is thinking about doing a podcast is to go listen to some other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will help you formulate those ideas about what you want yours to sound like. I listen to a lot of non-ag related podcasts, but I pick up good points here and there from all of them about what I would like to keep it like. Mm-hmm. Going back to the comment about us sounding like we're sitting on the porch talking, I've kept that comment really at the forefront a lot because that has been one of the things that's always told me we want to keep this conversational. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to keep it like we're just sitting around talking, whether it's at lunch or on the front porch or.
Yep.
Well, and I know we've had producers that have said something too, listening to a podcast and said, my gracious, it was just like that specialist was sitting in a tractor with me.
Yeah.
And that's what, that's what we want. And I know we have listeners too that aren't actively farming necessarily, but they like agriculture.
They want to keep up.
They want to keep up. And so I want to say, I'm going to give a shout out to my husband, Jamie Shadrick. Because we don't farm actively. We both have ag degrees. We both love agriculture. And he doesn't work in it directly every day. He helps me a lot, though. So he goes to farm visits and things. But he listens to our podcast. And when he told me he was listening to them, that meant something to me.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have to listen to that, but I do appreciate it. And just this, we were sitting there at the house this weekend. He said, who's the podcast going to be on Monday? you know, he'll ask me who's up next, you know, and mm-hmm. we talked about it, and I told him, well, I've been on the road more last week, so I'm getting caught up on my podcast, you know, yeah. listening to him, and I was saying, and I just said, did you listen to, you know, the podcast? And he said, yeah, he said, I'm up to date. That yeah. was his answer to me. I'm up to date. And he was asking me who's
yep.
today's was, yep. you know, and I appreciate that,
yep.
you know, because I do. I appreciate him supporting us in that way. And I know he's told some other folks about it. And I appreciate those listeners that may not work in agriculture every day, mm-hmm. but they listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
And I know those are out there.
I happened to visit my doctor that is at Vanderbilt University, and his dad still farms in Pennsylvania. So when he came in, you know, the first visit I ever had with him, he had on a Case belt buckle. And I said, me and this old boy probably get along all right. And come to find out, we have hit it off. He's a great guy, Dr. Gould, Edward Gould. And he listens to our podcast. He's not up to date because he told me the other day when I was down there seeing him, he said, well, I'm not up to date now,
yeah.
you know, but he does listen. And so people that are listening to us are from varied backgrounds,
yeah.
and that's great. Yeah. That's great. If we can talk, and Jay talks about it in our introduction, you know, about, you know, talking, you know, we're trying to educate consumers and
right.
People that are in agriculture, all in the same deal. So, you know, to me, that's really special that people that have no connection to agriculture are actually listening, and they may not be up to date, but at least they're listening.
That's right.
You know, and hopefully we can teach them something. And to me, our whole podcast is telling our story,
mm-hmm.
telling agriculture yep. story, being an advocate for agriculture. I've said for years that a county agent's job, very first job, was to be an advocate for agriculture.
That's right.
Yep.
And so, you know, to me, that's a big deal, and that's what I want to keep at the forefront, you know, and at easy listening and then talking about agriculture and telling our story and telling agriculture mm-hmm. story, I think, are so important for our podcast.
Yeah. There's so much misinformation out there nowadays from a lot of groups that are trying to, you know, maybe get a toehold in the market. Even within agriculture, you have people that are promoting their own products by trying to take down another product. That's something I hate to see. I think there's room and niche markets for just about everything that's out there. I really feel like that's one of the areas we could probably do more work on when it comes to educating consumers, mm-hmm. is letting them know the true story. And yeah. like you say, David, being an advocate, I think, is the yeah. term mm-hmm. that's used a lot nowadays. But being out there and telling the story of production agriculture mm-hmm. and helping those consumers understand maybe why a farmer uses a particular pesticide mm-hmm. or what a chemistry mm-hmm. program involves and why we change that up year in and year out mm-hmm. for different reasons.
Yep.
But that's one of the things I feel like that a lot of folks get a lot of misinformation out there, and it's one of the ways we could fill in the gap, so to speak, with giving them the good news.
I agree.
Oh, we got lots of work to do. I mean, there's no doubt about it. In my mind, we've got tons and tons of work to do as far as educating consumers. We're, you know, people talk about being two or three generations removed. I take issue with that. Mm-hmm. I think we're way further. I think mm-hmm. we're 4, 5, 6 generations removed from the farm. And we have got to do a better job. Everybody in agriculture needs to do a better job telling our story.
That's right.
This is a way. You know, personal people talking to each other is a way, you know, farmers inviting folks to their farm to see how they do things is a way. You know, there are a multitude of ways that you can do this. And, you know, we just got to keep plowing, you know,
that's
we
right.
just got to keep after it. And that's the only way I feel like that we're going to be able to get our story out.
Oh, I agree. And I encourage you folks to listen to some of those podcasts that are going to be coming up over the next couple of months, because we've got some plugged in there about that very topic and folks in leadership roles that are mm-hmm. have taken that on and telling their story about how they got started and why they are in the positions that they're in and why that was a priority for them. And
yep.
You know, I won't tell the end of the story here, but you know, so you'll listen to it. But I'm really excited about these podcasts are going to be coming out over the next few months. And I think that you're going to enjoy them. I think that just getting to know the person that's behind the mic a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you're going to appreciate why they're in those roles, because you're going to find out that it's not for Uno number one.
Yep.
And, So I encourage you to listen to those, because that is a focus of ours. I think, like you said so well, David, is that, you know, we all three personally, we feel like that's something that we need to do, is to tell that ag story and tell the right story, Jay, like you said. I mean, because somebody's going to tell it wrong if we don't.
Yep.
And I'm excited about all the episodes to come. We're on 100 right now, but I'm looking forward to 101 and 2 yep. and 3 and so on. And shout out to all of our listeners.
Absolutely.
We could not do this. We wouldn't, you know, if we didn't have people to listen, there wouldn't be yep. a need to do it. And so thank you, thank you, thank you
for
being our listeners and staying with us even through the growing pains of...
Some podcasts have been better than others. We recognize that, and I feel like we try to improve on that every time.
That's right.
On that same hand, you were talking about your husband saying he was caught up, you know, he's up to date. Go back through that library, if you will, because that's kind of what it is a library, and look at some of those topics. And I think anybody that goes through there will find something that relates to their type of production ag.
Yes, yep,
definitely.
Agree.
And you know, we've got some on there that people talk about getting involved in leadership, you know, too. So, I mean, if you're thinking about wanting to be involved in leadership, the one that comes to mind is Mr. Joseph Siss.
Yes.
Michael Lester also mm-hmm. Did a fantastic job. Those were great podcasts, and I enjoyed listening to those myself. Yeah. You know, talking about being involved in leadership, and, you know, we've to get to where we want to be, the next level, we want people that are involved in leadership that are going to move agriculture forward.
That's right.
And, you know, that's kind of what we're here to talk about. And we want to do that and advocate for the things in ag that need to be advocated for.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of different leadership programs out there. And we talk all the time about every time we do a show, it gives us an idea for another mm-hmm. one. We might need to identify some of the leaders of these ag programs mm-hmm. out there. I know we have the Kentucky Ag Leadership Program, or CALP as it's known. Mm-hmm. There's the Farm Bureau Leadership Program.
Yeah.
We could go through and find some folks who are in charge of these programs, maybe do a show about letting mm-hmm. them talk about what mm-hmm. it takes to get involved and being a part of those processes. So.
Well, I think that'd be a great idea.
I do too.
For sure.
And just a fun fact for our 100th episode, for those that may not know this, I think it's pretty impressive myself, but that opening and closing that you listen to every time you listen to this podcast is not pre-recorded.
Yep.
Mr. Jay Stone
does that every
He does it every time.
He does it.
The only time he doesn't do it is if he's not with us, is not very often, but there are a few, but you can tell that Vicky is not near as good at it as
David's
Jay
not
is. Yep. So shout out to you, Jay, for doing that. It's, you know, you do a really great job. It sounds the same. And I even told somebody, I said, you wouldn't know that was not pre-recorded.
I try to read it the same every time.
Yep.
And I think that's great, though, because I think, again, that's
consistency.
It's consistency. Yep. So, Jay, thank you for doing that each time.
Yep. You're very welcome. It's a pleasure to do so. We had one of our administrators in here one day when we were getting set up to record, and he said, well, I know you just read yours off. He said, some of these groups go out and pay these people to make these professional recordings for them. And I laughed, and I said, well, they just didn't want to take the time to figure out how to do it themselves.
That's right. That's exactly right.
We have done this all pretty much on our own. We have figured it all out. And it's been a good road to get us here. I think we've learned mm-hmm. a lot and maybe helped some folks along the way, which is what it's all about. So.
Absolutely. I hope so, for sure.
You know, one of the things we always do is try to wrap these shows up with a timely tip. And even though we've talked very little about the production season, we need to remind folks this will air on the last week of February. That means spring is right around the corner. And it's a good time to be thinking about preparing now for your equipment maintenance before spring actually gets here. I always like to have my extension meetings done and out of the way before the farm machinery show, because folks come back from the farm show and
ready to roll.
Yep. They're ready to get stuff done. And, and let's think early about getting some of this maintenance done and out of the way, especially on our cultivation equipment and our planters, because sprayers too. But if you're in the part of the state where you've got some wheat production, your sprayer's probably up to date right now.
It's probably already been updated, but
Probably been running for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a little
now.
Bit, and you know, hopefully go through those row units. And I mean, you can never, you know, it's kind of like making a first impression. The best time to make the first impression on the corn crop is to do a good job planting, and you know, soybeans the same way. So go through those row units, update as you need to, and replace those old parts and. Get all that stuff, service your tractors, all that kind of stuff before we get to planting season.
We're working right now on some rental equipment that we have that Farm Bureau owns in Hopkins County, and that's the very reason we're doing it now. We're trying to get some of this stuff done and out of the way because folks are going to want to use it here in another couple of weeks. So
that is right.
Well, folks, that sounds good. You know, we always like to thank our person, whoever's here with us, and we have nobody but us. So we've kind of been teammates through this thing. All along. So I just want to thank my teammates for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. It's been a lot of fun doing this 100 episode show, and a lot of fun doing all the shows that has led us up to this point. So we hope you've enjoyed all of our shows, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.